Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
Well, who came to receive from the Lord today? I want to address a rumor that's gone out from about this church, and I want to use the Sunday today to do that because I want to correct what people have said. And you might have had to hear this, that people, because of all that we do, people have said, that church has a lot of money, that pastor has a lot of money, those people have money, and they talk about money, the pastor's rich, and that church is rich. So I just want to tell everybody on record and people watching on television, however rich you heard that we are much richer than what you've heard. And however rich you heard the people are, they have undersold it. And then I want to throw this in. This is actually the poorest that we've ever been, that will ever be. We are going to go to a level of financial opulence in this church. We are going to acquire properties and buildings like their sweaters at Kmart, because wealth that's in the hands of the wicked does not belong to the wicked. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And the people that are going to snatch it out of the devil's hand, I'm looking at them right now in Pittsburgh, and I'm looking at them right now in Fort Worth. Can you say amen? Go ahead and celebrate ahead of time. Take 15 seconds. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I want you, if you have your Bible, open it with me to Proverbs 10:22. This is not the offering. I'm going to receive an offering, tithes and offerings at the end. I'm not preaching this to drive to the offering. Proverbs 10:22. You can put it up on the screen. The blessing of the Lord makes what? Hey, we don't have bowling pictures, do we? Huh? We announced we were going to do bowling. We had 86 people, I think same as seniors, 82, show up for our bowling team. So we're going to have tryouts. We're going to have a JV league. Now listen, I know Brother Kofi's in Fort Worth or Ghana. I want, by the way, Bishop Dag Haywood Mills is going to come to Pitt. We're going to plan a citywide crusade like Bishop Dag does in Africa in Pittsburgh this year in the fall. And then our church is going to do one in Africa with him. He's going to train our people how to do it. So we'll have like actual missions teams that don't just paint homes and hold an opposite color child for an Instagram photo and then put the child back down and go home. We're going to have everybody say actual missions. So I want whoever is administrating this, if Kofi is still in Ghana, I want to get Magalis, Patrick, I want leaders assigned to every ministry. I don't want a bowling fellowship night. I want our church to have a bowling team that wins the city league. So the goal is not to do outreach. The goal is to win. And then by winning, people want to be a part of the top bowling team. Amen. So you're not there to let your light shine. You're there to knock pins over. I want somebody to be in charge of softball. I want somebody to be in charge of revival. There's bowling. There's my nephew Pito, way too into sports as usual. What else we got? Episode of Saved by the Bell. Do you have like a picture that shows like more than eight people? No, go slower with the photo transitions. Just leave them up for like a minute 15, 2 minutes and a half. Somebody with ADHD just is rolling around on the floor right now. Why did you take me here? All right, we get the picture. Whoever took pictures, you did an awful job. God bless you. So I want somebody in charge of Revival Today Anglers. I want somebody in charge of the gun club. I want somebody in charge of the hunting club. I want to get all these ministries humming. Veterans Brigade. Let's use this Wednesday night meeting to organize that and get it refired. I want all the 50-some ministries that are a part of this church humming. Seniors at 86, bowling's at 80-something, fishermen. I announced we were going to do Revival Today Anglers last week. I had three guys come up to me in the parking lot separately and ask if they could be in charge of it. So there's interest. Hunting, guns, fitness. How much time do we have left till the building's ready for Revival Today Fitness? Another 2 months or what? 2 months. We bought how many square feet? Say it again. We bought a 9,000 square foot building to have our own gym for our church members, and we're going to load it with state-of-the-art equipment, and then for guys like me, juice and pizza to watch the other people work out. So if you're in Revival Today Fitness, we have the marathon. I think if you're running in that half marathon next month, is it next month, Adonis?
Yeah.
Stand up, everybody that's running in the marathon. We have 51 people signed up from the church that are going to run a half marathon. You will never see me there. This church will be minimum double what it is right now by the end of the year. Can you say amen? All right. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord. Blessing in the Bible is not for sneezing. The blessing of the Lord makes a man or woman what?
Rich.
Do you know what the word rich means in the original Hebrew?
Rich.
How many know God meets the need? That's not what it says. How many know God will supply the need and he'll even bless you above that sometimes? No. The blessing of the Lord, when it comes into full manifestation, it makes the individual who's blessed rich, and it addeth how much sorrow. So if you get rich the world's way, you could talk to a number of celebrities right now. Hip hop stars, pastors who partied with the hip hop stars. They got money, but with it came sorrow. They have to wait to see how court cases shake out. They're having trouble sleeping at night. They're going to forfeit their assets. But the blessing that the Lord gives, it not only makes rich, but it addeth, everybody say, no sorrow. So say a term with me. Say sorrow-free riches. Now take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 6. No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burdens of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and don't hide from relatives who need your help. Verse 8, Isaiah 58, 8. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I'm here, he'll quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry. Help those who are in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and darkness around you will be bright as noon. Before I finish this passage, I want to tell our church a message today. At Easter, we had many people receive Jesus Christ, just under 1,000 people between Fort Worth and here. Now that you come to Christ, what is there? Is it wait to die and go to heaven and continue with life as normal? No. The Bible teaches there's another path you walk. Does that path, and I'll get your response here, that new path that you walk when you give your life to the Lord, does it lead to ruin, or does the Bible teach that it leads to great reward? Great reward. And I'm going to show you that from the scripture. The Bible doesn't say God told Abraham, leave your native country. Put it up on the screen. I want people to see it. Genesis 12:1. Then God told Abram, leave your native country, your father's family. Get out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. Verse 2, and I will make you super poor, and you'll have nothing, and no one will know your name, and you shall lack and want. No, I will make of thee a great nation. There's a blessing, there's a part of the blessing that turns an individual into a nation. This is happening, and I know it sounds like I'm overstating it. Where we'll be at, between Fort Worth and here, we'll be at whatever, 1,500 today with both campuses. That church is 6 months old. But then we'll also be in LA tonight, and that's not at a church, and there's 1,100 people registered to come. So then we'll be there. Where did those people come from? You can see the blessing of God turning this place into a nation. When we go golfing, they have to close the course down. All tee times are rented out by our people. When we go bowling, it takes up all the lanes. Wherever we go, 2 years into this church, we're starting to fill any space you put us in. We were in 107 Patton Drive. We overfilled it. We moved to here. They're having court cases about how we've overfilled it. And when we move to the next building, it's going to be beautiful. And it's going to be overfilled with people. Because God said, the blessing of Abraham is, I will make you into a mighty nation. I used to have no employees. Then we hired my wife's sister part-time, Magalis, who's sitting in the back. Then we moved her to full-time. Then we added Patrick with her to take care of the finances. And today, we're at 53. We were at 12 when we started the church 2 years ago. We're at 53. We have offices here. We have offices in Fort Worth. And we don't owe any money to anybody. There's no financing. Because the blessing is, I will bless you and make of thee a great nation. That's what you have on the inside of you. Don't worry about where you're at right now. My wife's in the front row, and that's why I wanted her here. Because I was listening to a sermon that I preached this morning in 2018. And I was telling stories that I forgot about. I forgot about when my wife and I were in White River Junction, Vermont. And we had enough money to either stay in the worst hotel and eat food that week or stay in a decent hotel and not eat that week. We didn't have credit. We didn't have credit cards. Our credit was so low, we got turned down from all the credit cards. My wife and I had a car repossessed in the first year of our marriage. This is 17 years ago. So wherever you are now, I know, however low you are, I know what it's like. We were sitting there getting bit in that bed. What was biting us in the bed? It was like they allowed pets. So it was some type of flea or something. And my wife doesn't care about fancy things, but she cares very much about clean. She re-cleans hotel rooms. She is very clean. Her mother's clean. Her sisters are clean. They like to clean for fun. It's like a hobby. You could manufacture computer chips in my mother-in-law's living room. If something drops on the floor, I just squat and cut it off the floor like a plate and eat it. And so I watched her pained face as she was getting bit up, thinking, and I remember saying to her, and I said it in that sermon from years ago, I said, if you'll stick with me, life won't always be like this. Because the Bible, you know why I could say that confidently instead of, well, we're willing to suffer for the Lord? No, we were. We didn't check out and quit the ministry. But the Bible says the path of the upright shines brighter and brighter until the full light of day. No, I'm not concerned about where I'm at now. Now, even now, I could put up videos from 2 years ago of when we started the church and we're all smiling and laughing and telling about how good God's being. I was watching one yesterday and I said, I think we've broke 300 people today, and everybody clapped. But I knew not only were we gonna break 300, but we'd break 400 until eventually we would get all the way to 799 on the nose and never be able to break it. And then the day will come where we'll play these videos and say, hey, remember when we met in the dome and we thought we were knocking it out of the park and bragging about what God was doing? Look at what he's done now. The day will come where they'll have state legislature meetings in Pennsylvania about how much land a church is allowed to own, how big a building a church can own. We are going to break every barrier and set every record that the world never wanted the church to set. And I'm telling you, you're not along for the ride. God's going to build you, because when God builds his church, he builds the people in the church, because you are all living stones in that house. Today is an announcement from the Bible to let you know, and to let every demon assigned to your life know where you're headed, because today is the smallest you'll ever be. Today is the smallest you'll ever be. From this day forward, no more ups and downs, just ups and ups. From glory to glory, victory to victory, and strength to strength. If you believe it, give the Lord a great hand clap. Let him know you're interested. And if you're not interested, I could recommend 500 churches in the area where they pride themselves on not talking about money. But if you want spaghetti, it's $4 a plate. If there's a youth pizza party, the teenagers have to bring $6. They actually will talk about money everywhere except in the meeting. You got to kick in for everything. How much was the senior brunch yesterday? How much is it ever? How much is bowling? How much do we charge for tickets for special events? Ever. All we do is talk about the blessing of God and give people an opportunity to give, instead of not talking about it, having a box at the back, and then find the rich people that are in the church and me pay them a visit, or Kofi pay them a visit. Excuse me, we are moving out of the dome and we're going to develop the land in Ohio Township. We'd like to challenge you if you could maybe $30,000 or $50,000. We're challenging some at that level. Where's that in the Bible? That's not in the Bible. Where are tickets in the Bible? I'm asking you, where are tickets to come to church in the Bible? Can you imagine a pastor charging their congregants ticket fees to come to their church to hear the word of God? It happens in this city. That Jonathan talks about money. No, I don't. You do. I've never banned anyone from church for not paying a ticket fee. You'll go to hell for doing that. The Bible says, freely you've received, freely give. Can you say amen? So yeah, we talk about offerings, but we don't do secular. Let me just say this. For where God's going to take this church, there's not enough fish to fry at $4 a plate on Wednesdays to raise the budget for where we're going. There's not enough spaghetti dinners with crappy sauce made by the youth group with overcooked noodles for $4 a plate. You couldn't sell enough spaghetti. If we had all the spaghetti in Sicily, it wouldn't be enough to take us where we're going. But I found out something from the Bible, that God has his own supply. Everybody say, God has his own supply. It's completely separate from this world's supply. The Bible says when the Israelites were tired of eating manna, that they cried out to God, and God brought quail up from the sea. Birds don't live in the ocean. God brought birds up from the sea. He created them. In fact, when you read in Genesis, that's where creation came from. That's why there was a gold coin in a fish's mouth when Jesus needed his taxes paid. God has his own supply that's separate from the Federal Reserve, that the World Economic Forum can't put their hand on, that the Democrats don't get to vote on, that the Republicans can't waste it away. And he said, if you serve me, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that's so great you won't have room enough to take it all in. So I tell you again, as unashamed as I can, get ready for the best 9 months that you've ever had, because God is opening his windows on his people in Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout amen like thunder. Amen. Isaiah 58. Then when you call on the Lord, he will answer. Yes, I'm here, he'll quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Feed the hungry, verse 10. Help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness. Say this out loud. Darkness can't extinguish light. What do you think about all the wicked things that are going on? Now, let me tell you, If it was up to me what to preach today, I would have preached something about Israel and Iran and Bible prophecy. I was ready to do it. I've preached on it before. It was one of the first messages we did in the church. But you know what? I felt the Lord speak as clear as day. Don't worry about that. Because the church is going to continue in an upward trajectory regardless of what happens in the world. Can you say amen? So I'm telling you, oh yeah, I know everything that's going on over there. In fact, I could tell you how it's going to play out because the Bible tells you. That's a serious conflict. Ukraine, Russia is not Bible prophecy. China, Taiwan's not Bible prophecy. Canada, America is not Bible prophecy. Mexico cartels, Texas is not Bible prophecy. But Iran and Israel and pull Russia and China in and then NATO and U.S., that there you've got Armageddon. But guess what? All of that stuff can't hit while the church is here. Because while the church is here, you listen to me, we have a mission from God. You know, I got intel before they launched those attacks yesterday. You know, I've met a few people in the last 3 years somehow. And I got intel that Monday, there's a mass event planned in many of the cities of America that are going to be pro-Palestinian protests that are going to completely disrupt everything. And so I got that news 3 days ago. Well, everything's right on schedule. If Israel does some type of retaliation today of any kind, there's going to be a bunch of people that magically got matching T-shirts in the streets with a bunch of George Soros DAs that don't do anything about it and help them burn stuff down. Now, if you were going to pick cities that would be problematic during that time, where would you think in America would be the most problematic? I would say Detroit. I would say New York. I would say Chicago. And where else am I leaving out? Where? LA. So if I didn't believe this, I would take my little spineless, muerte huevo self and look at the camera right now and say, I want to tell everyone in California, I have some unfortunate news. Many of you know we had a crusade planned there this week. And out of an abundance of caution, the same way we canceled church for 2 inches of snow, you know, there's some things that are planning on going on in LA. And we don't really feel like it's the wisest time to do the meeting. Check back on our website and when it's safe. We're going to let you know. You know why we never shut our ministry down for COVID? Because the Bible said this crap is going to roll continually until the coming of the Lord. If it's not a plague, it'll be a rumor of war. If it's not a rumor of war, it'll be ethnicity rising against ethnicity. But you know what the Bible says right at the end of that? But this Jesus said. But this gospel must be preached to the ends of the earth as a witness. So I'm happy to go into downtown LA and turn a microphone on and tell every person in the midst of demonic attack, Jesus is coming soon. The temple's ready to be rebuilt and you need to get right with God while there's still time. We're not slowing down, we're speeding up because we're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and this gospel must be preached. Say out loud, this gospel must be preached. That's why we got five outreaches this week with hundreds of people. Not alone, let alone LA. While I'm in Lancaster, it's not me and Adonis, and you come and watch the show. We have free popcorn in the lobby. You can come watch us do our show for the Lord. It's about raising up 1,500, 2,000 right now. Practically, warriors of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I waited after church yesterday, or last Sunday, and a lady came up to me, and I'm going to keep her everything private because I'm careful with what I share, especially if I don't have permission. She said, I said, where are you from? Did you come move here from watching me on TV or what? She said, no, we're from Coriopolis. Never heard of you before, and then we just felt to go here. And I came here and got plugged in. And then she said, my granddaughter tried to take her own life. She took a knife, young lady, young, beautiful lady, took a knife and plunged it through her side. They took her to the hospital. They were able to get her stable, but then the wound wouldn't heal up. And she was slowly bleeding out. And it looked like she was going to slowly bleed out and die. And then she came to the church. And my little smiling friend, Pastor Abraham, on his day off, felt to go to the church in his spirit. And the lady was there. She didn't know the office was closed Monday. It was Easter week. And it's closed. And then Abraham came. Can I help you? She relayed the story. My granddaughter just plunged a knife through her side, and they can't close up the organ wounds, and she's going to die. And he prayed right there with her. And immediately that day, all the organs and tissues sealed up, and she came out of the hospital. When you saw those 115 people at the altar, she was one of them with her father that heard what happened, and he came too. That is what we're here to do, my friend. We're here to tell the devil, enough is enough. You're not going to have this generation. You're not going to flood Pittsburgh with fentanyl. You're not going to burn this place to the ground. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to crush your head into powder. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. That's that health and wealth gospel. Yeah, maybe we can send you next time so you can pray that God gives the girl grace as she dies, just like Jesus did. Remember, that's how Jesus always prayed for the sick. Give the lepers grace. Give the blind man grace. May the deaf man learn to trust you in his deafness. Where did people get this crap from? And I know I've said crap twice, but I'm going to fire some shots today. That's that health and wealth gospel. Yeah, you know, people are sick, and Jesus healed them. Thanks for six amens. Jesus healed the sick. And then he not only didn't tell us not to, he specifically told Christians to heal the sick. The same work you see me do, you shall do, and greater. That girl would be dead if she met somebody from an American Bible college. Thank God she ran into Abraham. Or if you're going to meet somebody from an American Bible college, it has to be somebody that went in the 80s, back when they taught power. They closed down the healing school. You know that? Kenneth Hagin's Bible College, they closed down prayer and healing school. People need to wake up. I feel like causing trouble today. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what Paul told the Galatian church? Why, after starting in the spirit, are you now finishing in the flesh? When somebody's dying, they don't need their shoulder rubbed. They need healed. Can you say amen? Amen. And when somebody needs clothes, they don't need to hear God bless you, hope it works out. He brought his children out of Egypt. Loaded. Put Psalm 105:37 up. He brought his people up out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among their tribes. Health and wealth. Before you leave Egypt, ask your Egyptian captors for their silver and their gold, and I will cause them to give it to you. Exodus 12. In this way will you plunder the Egyptians. Say with me, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. He brought his people out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold. And there was not one, not sick, 1.3 million people, there wasn't one feeble among their tribe. So when did that go away? When did the health part go away? When did the money part go away? I am the Lord God and I change not. We serve a God that paves roads with gold. We serve a God who builds fences with precious stones. He's the Almighty God. And when you come into covenant with him, that power that he operates in is shared with those that are his sons and daughters. How many of you are glad you're a son and daughter of God? I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not saying this to be some kind of big shot and run my mouth. If all of Hamas came to LA and made it their mission to stop my meeting, they would never be able to stop it. It would only grow. You cannot curse who God has blessed. They've been having meetings around this part of Pittsburgh ever since we opened the church to shut this down. How are they doing? Not too great. You're wasting your time. You can't curse who God has blessed. If you arrested me on the way home, people would find out about it. We'd have 1,000 more people come the next Sunday to come hear my wife. I am a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I will, not I'll try, I will build my church. I'm going to build it, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somebody shout, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
And the darkness around you will be bright as noon. What does it say in the King James? Isaiah 58:10. Isaiah 58:10. 58:10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. Then your darkness, what's darkness for you, will be like noonday sun for other people. That's what the Bible says. I don't believe in that. You'd be amazed how little God cared what you believed when he wrote his word. The Lord will guide you continually. Everybody say divine leading. Giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden. You. This is the Bible talking to you about you. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you, let me see in the King James, next verse. Oh, no, let me see that 11 in King James. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Hallelujah. And satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they shall be, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. That means like you go into McKee's Rocks and start a church, and the church grows. Now there's 400 people looking to have lunch, and so restaurants spring up. And then people that were buying drugs get saved and quit buying drugs and start getting jobs and paying taxes. And the place that was a dump turns in, it gets rebuilt. That's what we do. And you know what? The reason many, many entities in the government treat the church like an enemy is because there's a ton of money to be made off of people being addicted. The government has made no money off me other than what I have to pay in taxes. I've never bought methadone. I've never been to a methadone clinic. I don't have counseling. I don't have gender therapy. I don't have free sex change that people get paid for, about $1 million per person. So me being tormented and troubled and poor and sick, what do you think nationalized health care is about? You can only prescribe me as many medications as I can pay for if it's me. But then if it's nationalized, you can put people on. I won't take a show of hands here today. How many of you are on 11 medications? How many of you are on 17 medications? We're not against doctors. We're not against anybody. But tell me how somebody, if you're not supposed to take Tylenol every day, how do you put somebody on a morphine dose permanently and then a pill to sleep? What do people even need pills to sleep for anyway? Haven't you ever heard of fettuccine Alfredo? Eat half a plate of that. You won't even make it to your car. And they want people addicted. See, they don't get you off of drugs. They switch you from a drug that Hector's making money off of to one that Pfizer's making money off of. Why do you think there's a push now to legalize government-produced methamphetamines, government-produced synthetic heroin? Because there's no care. Why do you think the southern border's wide open? Because a decision was made, hey, this is $100 billion a year industry. Why stop it when we can get a cut of it? You know how you know? Because nothing's done to stop it. Then when Texas went to stop it, what happened? They got sued. And this is not a Republican-Democrat thing, my friend, because the Republicans vote the same way the Democrats do. They just did on the FISA bill. That's why I'm done waiting on men. But I found out in the Bible, whether it's Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, D.L. Moody, you don't have to wait for man's help. You can crack that Bible open and begin to tell people, Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, Jesus will take you out of the pit and set your feet on the rock to stay. And by the word, you can rebuild the waste places. You listen to me. I was in Giant Eagle yesterday, and the cashiers don't take money anymore. So you have to put cash into a machine because they're going to phase out all the cashiers. So then it kept kicking my $100 bill out, and I kept putting it back in, and it wouldn't take it. So then I had to put 20s in. So these guys behind me, or this guy and this lady, they're in their 50s. You know, like Pittsburgh people, good people. They went, you know what they're doing, don't you? They're trying to get rid of cash so they can put us all on digital currency. I know. The Bible told me that. I knew that when I was 7. No man will be able to buy or sell without a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And they said, they're going to, so I said, you're right. They, and then when it kicked my $100 bill out again, they went, see, they don't want you using cash. They're going to do away with cash. And I turned around to them and I said, they'll never do away with cash as long as I'm alive. And they went, I like that. Because a lot of times, because people know what's going to happen out of Bible prophecy, that nations are going to be destroyed and stuff, they have a defeatist attitude. Some of you came from churches like that where it's like, let's meet together on Sunday and just kind of stay safe until the coming of the Lord. But the church is not a place to hide from what's going on in the world. That's why I'm not just preaching a message. That's why you can feel heat on this message, because it's not empty words. We're not sending teams. Do you think I'm sending teams to Section 8 housing to help our church get more money? It's to do what did Isaiah 58 said would cause your light to break forth. Go find the afflicted. What did Jesus say? Find the blind. Find the halt. Find the maimed. People that can't walk. People that are sick. Go find them. And if you'll reach them, if you only help people who you know can pay you back, you're no different than the heathen. That's what Jesus said. But if you go and help those who you know can't pay you back, your Father in heaven will pay you back. And let me tell you, this church gets paid on a regular basis, not from George Soros, not from the United Nations, not from some backroom deal to make a handshake deal, to not preach on healing, to shut our church down and turn it into a vaccination center. We get paid from the open windows of heaven by doing what Jesus said to do. Let me see that verse in Isaiah again. So I said that because there needs to be a mentality in you. I won't make the teenagers stand up, but all the teenagers, lift your hand and wave it, right hand and wave it, nice and high. There needs to be a mentality in you when you go to school. My light will shine in darkness. I'm going to try to not do drugs. No, you are going to help where people that are bound and tormented, the light of God that's in you. They're not going to say, I feel the light of God. I feel the presence of God. They're going to say, you have a different energy. I feel better when you sit by me in science class. You're going to start hearing stuff like that. You're going to make people that are sad happy. Christians are to make people that are frowning smile, not the other way around. When Jesus would finish preaching, hallelujah, the Bible says there was great joy. And the people said, what amazing things we've seen today. People following Jesus in the desert, forgetting that they haven't eaten in 3 days. And it'll come back. It's coming back right now. Whatever happens in the Middle East, you remember I said this. I'm not rolling the dice. I'm not trying to make some clickbait prediction. America, every church we've gone to this year has broken the attendance record, usually early in the week. Look at this place now. This church is 2 years old. People are the hungriest they've ever been. But most churches that you go to are like restaurants that don't serve food. They talk about, hey, can I get some chicken to eat? Oh, we don't have chicken anymore. But boy, in the 80s, we had some of the most delicious chicken. How many of you servers that are here remember that? Everything Everything's what God used to do, what God did. And you would think that God left America to rot and doesn't care about the people now. But what happened when Jesus turned the water into wine? They said, most people serve the best up front, but you have saved the best for last. I'm not saying this to encourage you and stir you up. I am a factual person. I'm not a mystical person. I am telling you factually from the Bible. God did not save the weakest, worst Christians for the last hour of time. The fact that you're here now lets you know that God has something on the inside of you, that when you connect it with Christ and get anointed with the Holy Ghost and fire, you're going to go into places and destroy the work of the devil. There's people here, you used to be in gangs, now gang leaders are going to get set free by your life. You're not like everybody else. You're not going to live like everybody else. You are blessed in Jesus' mighty name. If you know you're blessed, let your hand clap, announce it to the devil. Come on, give Jesus the highest praise. I hear the sound of the armies of the Lord. I will not be defeated. I will not give up and quit. He who began a good work in me shall bring it to completion. Hallelujah. Can I get in the deer's testimony? I want to show you what happens when people have an encounter with the power of God. As people talk about healing, we don't talk about it. We have it. As people talk about money. I don't talk about it, my friend. I don't have a bank account in this church full of words. We're now in the top 2%, two-year-old church. We're in the top 2% of all nonprofits in the United States. And I'm just getting warmed up. And we're not going to lose it. There's no hookers. There's no nothing to hide. This is a holy church. This is a righteous church. And it seals all the entrances that the devil has to take the money. I tell every wicked person watching me right now in government agencies, whether you're FBI, CIA, Democrat, Republican, if you have taken a deal to sink this nation and kick its legs out from under it. This year, if you don't repent, is going to go very poorly for you. Because the Bible, what's our theme of this year? What's the word God said at the beginning? Who's going to possess the land? That's right. So when you see the evil things of this world being shaken, just remember, I'm not part of that. I walk a different path. That path's going to go down. But I left that path. I'm not going down, baby. I'm going up. What happens? Now, just in this testimony, think of how many people are going to lose money. Roll it.
My name is Nadir, and I battled schizoaffective disorder since 2011. And I had a psychotic break in 2011. And after that, I had two episodes where I went into the hospital. And after I went into the hospital, I got put on 17 different medications a day. And I was just chaos in my mind. I was sleeping 20 hours a day for 4 years because of how heavy the medications were. And after that, I basically was hospitalized five more times, so seven total.
Pause it real quick. When they say psychotic break, they're talking about they call the police, zip tie you, and fill you full of benzodiazepine. You don't recover from that. Then you're a crazy person for the rest of your life that people have to keep their eye on. There is no irreversible situation with God where, humanly speaking, it's impossible. Never with God. For with God. Now, I'm sorry. I believed that when I was a child. And I believe it more now. When I read that in the Bible, I believe it. That where things are impossible, this whole church is impossible. It's not possible to do anything we've done in 20 years, let alone in 2 years. This is a lifetime's worth of ministry work that transpired in a year and a half. And then now Texas too, growing. Broke 400 in Fort Worth already. In a state-of-the-art church. I've already had two guys come to me when I was at a coffee shop, minding my own business, and I never met them before. We're glad that you're in town. Let us know when you're ready to get a permanent building, and we'll front you all the money. This is what they said, 7 million, 9 million, 11 million, 13, whatever you need, just let us know. I said, thank you. I don't have to kiss anybody's rear. Sorry, I don't have to compromise. That's what your pastor should say. I don't have to compromise. I don't have to dirty myself. You think I'm going to go meet with some George Soros group to sell the gospel out so I can get a little money? God has more money under his fingernail than George Soros has in all his bank accounts. He owns all the silver and he owns all the gold. With men, it is impossible. Not difficult, impossible. But never, never with God. For with God, how many things?
All things.
Finish the testimony.
And it was just brutal. And when I had hallucinations, delusions, and it was torment daily, every day. And when you prayed for me, all you did was just lay your hand on me and say, be healed. I believe that's what you said. From that moment, everything started to change. Everything started to change. At first, I was still freaked out. Like, I was used to being in a panic because my whole reality was, like, skewed and shifted. And things were just getting back to normal. And, like, even tonight, I still had a little bit of anxiety when I came in. But I'm healed, and I know it. And I'm talking to my psychiatrist tomorrow, and I'm getting off of my meds.
Said you're talking to your psychiatrist tomorrow and getting off of your meds?
I'm talking to my psychiatrist tomorrow to get off my meds.
Now, I never told you to get off your meds, so tell me what can you tell is different enough that you're going to tell him I'm done?
Well, everything looks normal. In other words, every single person that I look at looks unique. Before, everybody looked like zombies or drones. You know what I mean? Like, if I went to a grocery store, like Costco or something, everybody would converge on an aisle at the same time, like on both sides. It was really weird. It was freaky. It was slow. And when you prayed for me afterwards, I went to the grocery store, and I remember everybody just laughing, looking like normal, and walking at their own pace. And I was like, I had peace. I was like, this is like a new normal, better than before even. Praise God. God.
You battled that how long?
13 years.
13.
And I was already a Christian. I wasn't serious about pursuing my relationship with the Lord, but I was a Christian, and I believed God could help me, but I didn't know. You know what I mean?
What did you hear me say preaching that stood out to you that made you, like, come up for prayer and believe that you...
Today's your day to get delivered from this. Today's your day. And it helped that you would come past me a lot. Normally, you don't come past me that much, but you kept coming by me that day. And I was like, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to go up.
Where are you at, Nadir? Stand up so people can see you. There he is. There he is. A testament that Jesus is alive. A living proof that the Bible's real. Look at that smile. Hallelujah. Say it so the devil can hear you. Nothing is impossible with God. Oh, yeah. So the pharmacy has lost money. The counselor's lost money. Everybody's losing money that's making money off people's problems. That's why if you get enough people healed, they throw you in jail for practicing medicine without a license. All through American history. Happens now. Happens in Europe. Because the hospitals need to be at a certain occupancy to survive. If you start getting people healed by the hundreds here, trust me, they would do a story on KDKA and it wouldn't be a favorable one. It would be a picture of me like this. This preacher promises people that God will bless them if they come to his church. First of all, I'm not promising God will bless you if you come to my church. I'm promising he'll bless you if you serve him. Period. Who's ever left this church and had me tell them, like meet with them. Yeah, you need to come back. I've never manipulated anybody into coming here, ever. Never will. It's a fruitless endeavor. People do what they want. God can't even control people. God told Adam and Eve what to do, and they wouldn't listen. He let them go out of the garden. This isn't a cult. Cults don't let you leave. If you leave here, we'll give you like an apple, like a gift card to Sheetz, and thank you for coming. Can you say amen? Now, I wish Nadir was the only one that's in that situation. But seeing as there are many, sorry that I bumped your head. Seeing as there's many, please don't sue me for assault for my errant elbow. Seeing as there's many people that are completely broken and they've tried everything. Nadir wasn't still having problems because he refused to go to counseling. Or because he refused to take his medication. He was doing everything he was told. Mark chapter 5. Don't turn there. I'm going to quote it to you. I mean, you can't. I'm not stopping you from reading the Bible. Mark chapter 5. There was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was no better. She had spent everything she owned on doctors and was no better, but she was worse. But when she heard about Jesus, she said to herself, think of it, a sickness took her money. 2020 through 2022, the devil tried to cripple the United States economy through a disease and the response to the disease. The devil has a two-pronged attack in the Bible, poverty and sickness. And God has a power that deals with both those things. Not just to shut down poverty and shut down sickness. He has abundant health. Then will your health break forth like the dawn, and you'll rebuild the waste places. I'm preaching this to you because I believe in you. There are people here. If you'll grab this message, we can turn 1,000 people out today that lay hold on this and say, no, I'm not going to have the world set little boundaries about how far I can go and what I can do. I'm going to rise up like Abraham in the power of God, and I'm going to make a mark on my generation. That's why I'm preaching this. I want something, a fire to get in you. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to live like everybody else. I'm going to make a difference in my world. And you don't have to wait till you're older. And if you're older, it's not too late. Turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm changing gears. I intend to pray for everybody today. Let's see if I can stay disciplined enough to finish at a godly hour. Acts 1. Hallelujah. Turn to Mark 16 before we go to Acts 1. It's a little to the left. Every minister that criticizes prosperity, I want you to post your salary next to your tweet or your Facebook post. I want to hear the salary that you negotiated from your board of directors that you don't believe in prosperity. 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, some a million a year, and they don't believe in prosperity. I'm all for big salaries. But don't tell people God wants you poor and then take a salary of $400,000 because you're called a hypocrite. Mark 16, verse 15. After he rose from the dead, Jesus told them. Anybody getting anything out of this today? Anybody got a little feeling on the inside that God's going to raise you up and use you to make the devil sorry he didn't kill you when he had the chance? I have a feeling. And he told them, go into all the world. He commanded them, go into all the world. Lancaster, Pittsburgh, Fort Worth, LA, Liberia, Angola, Canada. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be damned. This is a baptismal tub today. It's for people to follow the command of Christ to be baptized. If you've not been baptized, you should do it today. Usually, however many people sign up, it triples on the Sunday. Because people don't even know. People don't do what they don't know to do. It's like you just used to swing through Burger King all the time when you're hungry, and then you read something and you went, oh, well, as hungry as I am, I would like to live. So I'm going to alter my behavior. So when you don't know, my people are destroyed for a lack of what? Where'd you guys drive in from? Where did you guys drive in from? You came from Minneapolis? You too? Hello to you. David's my middle name. I appreciate you coming all the way from Minnesota. I love you. Thank you for coming. What part of Minnesota? I'm going to pray for everybody today. Love you, David. God bless you. Hallelujah. I've had about enough of seeing people get victimized. I'm done. I'm done. Kick me out of any church you want. Won't be the first time. And I can rent a hotel ballroom. I don't care anymore. I don't mean no care. I'm not trying to get on the Christian freaking conference circuit and have them give me the mic and have a 32-minute counter at the back and you're not allowed to pray for anybody. I'm done. I'm going to see America shaken by the power of God. I'm going to see it practically. We're seeing it right now. I'm going to pray for everybody. We have had, now, there's still some people in wheelchairs in this church. I'll get better. But we have now had five wheelchair-bound people emptied out of their wheelchair in 2 years. And there'll be more. So I want everybody that's here that has cancer, that you're paralyzed, that your organs are shutting down or whatever, we're going to pray today. And you're going to find out that this is no religion. We serve a living God. And he's going to take care of you. And he's going to make the devil pay. The thief has to pay back seven times what he stole. Can you say amen? Amen. Did you drive here or fly? Good Lord. How long the drive? When'd you get in? Last night? I want to pray for you first. How'd you know about me in Minnesota? I've never been there. TV or YouTube? All right. Jesus commanded them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. What does the gospel mean? Good news. Tell people good news. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus loves you. Some jerk on Twitter wrote, because some lady, I guess, that was like an online, like took her clothes off online. She gave her testimony that she came back to the Lord. So some lady wrote, if you've ever been engaged in sex work, I don't care. I'm talking a conservative lady. If you've ever been engaged in sex work, you can pray all you want. You'll never be acceptable to God. So I wrote, read the story of Rahab. And that was in the old covenant. Why be mean to people? Except religious people. That's who I'm mean to. Because Jesus was super mean to them. You whitewash tombs full of dead man's bones. But people should hear good news. Jesus loves you. I won't take a show of hands how many people we have here from prison. We do a prison outreach. We love you. I don't know, well, he's a prisoner. He's an addict. Keep an eye on the deer because he doesn't have it. If any man be in Christ, they're a new creature. The old life is dead. God doesn't see the prostitute. God doesn't see the addict. He sees a new creature. Old things are dead. All things become new. Somebody say, all things are possible. I mean, the Penguins are about to accidentally make the playoffs. Sold their whole team off. Anything can happen. Amen. Preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Not might be, will be. And anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs, miraculous, supernatural signs, will follow everyone who believes. How many people? This was for the first 12 apostles. That's not what it says. You made that up. It'll follow everybody. Everybody. Everybody who believes. Everybody say, I'm a believer. So there's not curses following you. There's not demons following you. There's supernatural signs that follow those who believe. I heard they speak in tongues at that church. You heard right. I'm going to start speaking in tongues more. I'm going to start laying hands on people more. I'm just going to make a list of everything that ticks the devil off, that CNN doesn't like, that MSNBC doesn't like, that the ladies on The View don't like, and I'm going to do it more. We're not going to have an acceptable form of Christianity that doesn't trouble the devil. We're going to have the type of church that they said in the book of Acts, who are these men who have turned the world upside down? I'm looking at people that are going to turn this place upside down. If you're one of them, can you shout amen like thunder? Hallelujah. Man, I feel good. Anyone who refuses to believe will be damned. These miraculous signs will follow everybody who believes. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They'll lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Everybody say, shall recover. There was a guy, the fifth guy that got out of a wheelchair. My uncle, he came here in a wheelchair in July from Camden or Newark, New Jersey. And my uncle was preaching that day. And he said to him, you're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And he shook his head, yes. Then he went from wheelchair 2 months later to walker. He told his doctor while he was in the wheelchair, I can move my leg. And the doctor said, that's impossible. This guy's not an idiot. He was a captain of the police force in New Jersey. He said, I'm telling you, I can move my leg. The guy said, that's not possible. Not only will you never be able to move your leg again, he said, we have it in a brace to keep it from moving so it stays stabilized. He said, I'm overriding the brace with the strength that's in my leg. And he said, so he came down to show him. And when he showed him, he went from saying that's impossible to that, that's improbable. Like that shouldn't happen. It's called a miracle. Miracles reverse, it's impossible for seas to stand up and the ground to drop. That doesn't happen. It's impossible for food to rain down from heaven. It's impossible for somebody that was born with no optical nerves to see. It's impossible for discs in back that are gone to regrow. But God is not limited by anything. He's the God of the impossible. And if you believe him, he accounts it as righteousness unto you and gives you the thing that you're believing for. I'm telling you, I haven't felt a fire like this in my gut, maybe ever. Every person in the sound of my voice, every person watching on YouTube, every person in Texas, wherever you are, whatever you came in here with today, we're telling you about miracles to let you know today is your day to say enough is enough and receive what God said belongs to you. If you believe that with me today, if you'll stand in faith with me today, take 30 good seconds, put those anointed hands together. Give God a mighty, mighty shout. Come on, take 30 seconds, let it rip. Say it right out loud. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. You may be seated. I'll wrap up. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. They'll lay their hands on the sick. Sick will recover. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached. And the Lord worked with them, confirming what they said with many signs and wonders. Acts chapter 1. Acts 1. Verse 8. But you, everybody say me. You will receive. You. It's not just for preachers or popes or bishops. These signs will follow all who believe. Then Jesus said, all of you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 7. I can't read the whole book to you. So I'm not picking and choosing scriptures. I'm just giving you a synopsis because I can't read 28 chapters in Acts. Acts 7:1. Let's look at the last paragraph of 6. Acts 6:8. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed many miraculous signs among the people. But one day some men from the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power. What a way to have your life summed up. If that's how they, I would take that over anything. Head of the cardinal of bishops, who cares? But if you get to the end of your life and say, if Jesus tarries at my funeral when I'm 97 or whatever, Jonathan was a man full of God's grace and power. What's your name? Jeremiah was a man full of God's grace and power. Adalys Ortiz, who then became Adalys Shuttlesworth, was a woman full of God's grace and power. That should be your goal. That when people think of you, they think of God and his grace and his power. To be used by God, to be a vessel. That's what they'd have us sing when I was growing up in church. I want to be a vessel you work through. Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel you work through. That is the greatest thing in all the world. To be a vessel that God's grace and power flows through to other people. The Bible says, talking about Christ, he is the... Very good. He's the what? And we are the what? So your head might want something done, but if it can't get its body... Your head wanted to go to church today, and it took a little effort to get your body on board. And that's how it is with Christ. He wants things done on the earth, but the body has to cooperate. But if he can find someone who will be his hands and his feet and his mouth, you do irreparable damage to the kingdom of hell. Stand up with us so people can see you one more time. And I also would like to see you. Tell them about, give my wife a mic real quick. Because I don't even know the answer to this. Is she on?
I'm on.
Why did you feel to start going to the men's prison with the group? I mean, it's not like you're not doing anything during the week.
I know your cousin approached me about it, and I thought it would be a terrible, stewardship if we had somebody that's connected in the prison and not do anything about it. So I just felt that we should, and it's been on my heart to do it for quite a bit of time. I just haven't had enough time to get the clearance and everything. So once we did that, it was on.
So then tell about how it was compared to how you expected it to be.
I expected it to be a lot tougher than what it was, but it's not. It's actually the easiest people to minister to, and they're so hungry for the
and
things
no
of
pride.
God.
No pride. No pride.
Like someone asked, one of the male inmates said, "What does double-minded mean?" And I just thought that was such a breath of fresh air because, you know, these people have never heard the gospel of Jesus. And anything you say, they take it and they run with it. And so we've seen significant change in the inmates, even in the few weeks that we've been there. It's just really, really powerful.
Like what impact? What's significant? Give me one.
Well, they go from, like, the murder look to a very kind look.
Do you see the change on the
I
face?
I see the change. I mean, it is unbelievable. You sit there
and their
and
eyes,
you're like,
their faces go soft and their eyes go soft.
Absolutely. And several times we had inmates crying, and these aren't obviously, like, you know, sissy boys or, you know, weak women. These are strong people in there, and they just break down when you start talking about the anointing and the power of God. It's the most phenomenal thing I've experienced.
So tell me about one in particular that stands out to you of a change you've seen now that you've been going a few weeks.
One of the girls started off and she had like, go ahead and impress me. You guys are all the same type of like vibe to her. And as we started preaching the gospel and taking her through scriptures, she went from this to like, okay, all right, to then she was just bawling her eyes out. And now every single time I see her, she doesn't have that hardened look. She has a soft look and she's continually thanking us. She actually said, like, we are the buzz in the prison. Everybody's talking about our group that goes in because of the change that they've seen in the inmates. They're full of joy.
And they said to her, you came back the second week. Because people, you know, church people, they'll do something one time to like, for their own conscience. And then it's even like those housing projects we do outreaches in. You keep coming back. We've thrown baby showers for the women that go, like, treat it like its own church. Show people you actually care. If you're here and you're a visitor or you were bussed in, I pay for those buses. I care. I want you to you know why I care? Adults, don't sit down. I need a teammate. So tell people, that's my wife. That's the pastor's wife. Tell them when you stopped drinking, what age you were, and tell them how you came to church.
I stopped drinking when I was 15.
Stopped drinking at 15.
I started when did she like start? 10. Like 10.
Did
probably.
They put salt around the nipple of the bottle?
Well.
Go ahead.
It was like 10. Our family loved to party, and there was always like drinks on the table. So I'd be like, you know.
I'm only having her tell this because you see the finished product. I can't live like that. Then you hear that and you think, you know what? Maybe I can live like that. Because I might, you know, yeah, I might not be the best person, but I wasn't an alcoholic in seventh grade.
Okay.
Go ahead. No, but tell. I want you to tell. So that's where you were. And then how did you become a Christian?
Me and my friends would take water bottles and fill it up with vodka. And we'd just get, like, drunk in school at seventh grade, which I'm like, what an idiot. Whatever. So when I was 14, 15 years old, one of my friends invited me to the movies. And I was like, yeah, I got nothing better to do. But when I got into the car, we drove past the movie theater. And I said, the movie theater, it was the AMC in Natick. I said, the movie's that way. Why aren't we going that way? And they're like, oh, we're just going to make a quick stop at a church service. And I was filled with rage in her back seat, in the back seat of that car. I was
they so human trafficked
off.
Her to church.
They did. And I didn't want to go in. I knew that it was a setup. I felt betrayed and angry all at the same time. I was like so quiet. And then we pulled up to the church and I felt the anointing of God in that parking lot. And I just immediately started to shake. And I knew that something was going to happen. Like I knew something was about to change in my life. And I went into that sanctuary and I gave my heart to Jesus that night. And I didn't want to. I remember the man of God preaching that night and saying, like, if you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, now's the time. And my head was like, absolutely not. You're not going to look like a complete idiot. But my legs started walking to the front and I started crying. And I gave my heart to Jesus that night.
Stay up with me.
All right.
You're on full-time salary. I know you're always trying to sit back down. You know, that's her story. Now me, that's why when I preach in prison or wherever, there's nobody I look at, how could they live like that? I always think, if I didn't have Tiff and Judy Shuttlesworth as my parents, that would be me. The only difference between me and the guy scratching a hole in his face right now under the Fort Pitt Tunnel Bridge is that somebody put the... Like 130 kids are getting right now. Somebody put the Bible in them. You're created in the image of God. You're the seed of Abraham. You are great. God's hand is on your life. And my parents did that. But you go back to my grandfather's dad, West Virginia coal miner. My grandfather drove moonshine trucks when he was 12. They would have the kids drive the moonshine trucks because they couldn't get arrested. They were bad people. Bad. That's why it irritates me when that lady wrote that on Twitter. If you've done sex work, I don't care how much you pray. And she's religious. You'll never be free from that. If that's true, then that would mean there's a power in sin that's greater than the power of the blood of Jesus. And then we're screwed. But I got good news. Yeah. There's no sin anybody's committed. There's no sickness anybody has that the blood of Jesus didn't destroy when it was shed 2,000 years ago. There's nothing the devil's done to you that God can't do something about it today. They were very bad people. Shuttlesworth. Bad people. Mean, angry. I know it's hard to believe. Think of this. This is me saved. Mean people. Fighting people. Solve their own problems. Call the police to handle the body. And then Jesus came into our family. And the Word of God came into our family. And her. Drinking water bottles full of vodka. She was 100 pounds even when we got married. So you must have weighed 70, 80 pounds drinking bottles of vodka. It's a miracle she's alive. And now she's preaching in the prison. And then that's why she doesn't have judgmental eyes to the women in the prison. Anybody would be, if God lifted his hand from my life, which he won't, because you have to depart from him. But if he did, I'd be finished. I wouldn't have anything, a plane. I wouldn't have a car. Wouldn't have anything. Everything. Did I or did I not? This is my first and second grade teacher. Did I or did I not have to go to speech therapy the whole time? How good did I speak?
Very hard to understand. Not very good.
Yes. 8 sounds of the 26 letters in the alphabet I could not say. I had braces on my legs. They were crooked. Nothing. And then God, the Bible says, he takes the beggar from the dunghill. He takes the beggar from the dunghill and sets him among princes. And the only cost of admission is once you receive Christ. Never forget that it's him. That's why you couldn't get me out of church. That, I'm telling you right now, that's why I was on the news 4 years ago for not shutting our ministry down during COVID. You could take my head off my shoulders before I won't go to church on Sunday. Bro, they're not asking you not practice the Christian faith. They're just asking you not to go to church. You can't do that. That Jesus died for me, was beaten beyond the form of a man. And the only thing I'm supposed to do is take the first hours of the first day of the week and say, I remember what you did, and I want to say thank you, and I'm taking the best part of everything I produced to give to you to remind you that I've not forgotten that it's not my own works that have done any of this. It's you that have done it. And then when you do that, he not only saves you, he does the second thing that they don't want to talk about in America anymore. He fills you with the same spirit, Romans chapter 8, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. If he dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body, and then he sends you out. He took a bunch of scared men that were afraid that anyone would find out they were Christians after Christ died, and he put a power in them where they would not shut up. They were going everywhere. They were preaching in prison. They were willing to be arrested. They were willing to be beheaded. They were fed to lions because there was a power in them that I will not back down. I'm going to take this same power, and I'm going to knock the devil's head for the rest of my life. Now, that is the point of today. If I'm on fire and she's on fire and some of the staff pastors are on fire, we will never, ever make a dent in Pittsburgh, ever. We'll have a few thousand people that have a relationship with God. There's 300, what's Pittsburgh population? 330, 335, then in the area it's 1.3 million. You can't do that with 8 people. Jesus said, I can't do it myself. But I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to send the same spirit that raised me from the dead to be in you. And then instead of there being one, there's going to be a head with a big body and many members. And what I'm trying to do today is get some more people enlisted, that I'm not going to be a church attender. I'm going to be a part of the soul winning, devil casting out, healing the sick army of God. I'm going to take the light of God with me wherever I go. And I'm hoping we can get some people interested. Stand on your feet, everybody. Lift both hands to the Lord. I pray from the depth of my heart that this boldness that was resident in the early church. This boldness, the righteous, the wicked run when no man pursues them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Let this boldness come into every person. Let me see Adalys's mic. Where's the lady from the seniors group that gave the testimony about praying for people at your work? Keep your back to the camera. Where's the lady that gave that great testimony yesterday? Prayed for people at work? Don't put your camera on her. You don't have to say, don't say the company or anything, but just say what opened up for you at work, and then what the backlash was and how it sorted out. I want you to hear this, because this is the world doesn't mind if you go to church, but if you start taking this outside, you know, everybody else is allowed to. You don't hear anybody say, why can't the LGBT keep their beliefs to themselves? No, everybody's allowed to shout what they believe, and you're supposed to feel ashamed of it. But I'm not ashamed. And I have a church full of people that aren't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Check this out. Tell them.
I'm an occupational therapist, and at the time, I was working as a home health therapist. So I just went to one of my patients' houses that I had visited before, knocked on the door, and when he answered, he came in tears. He was sobbing because he had just been diagnosed with having stage 4 cancer. And I walked in and I'm thinking, what am I going to do this therapeutic today with this man? And he said to me, you know, Sal, I don't even know Jesus. And I said, I know him. Do you want me to introduce you to him? And he said, yes. So I sat down and I talked to him. And over the course of time, we said the sinner's prayer. And he gave me a big hug and a thanks because he was so lifted when I left. And I felt like I really did something important. But the next day, I got a call from not my boss. It was the owner.
The owner of the company. Now think of this before she continues. The Bible says when the sower sowed the word, the enemy came at once to steal it. So most people, when there's backlash, they back up. It's a sign that if you stir the devil up, you're on the right track. She wasn't going around looking to do anything. When people get ready to die, they know they're lost. I don't even know Jesus. I don't know about eternity. Then they realize what she's supposed to do. So go ahead.
So the owner of the company called me and said, Sal, I need you to come in. We're going to have a meeting. And I knew I was the topic. So I came into the boardroom, and there were 5 of my managers there, all angry-faced, all solemn, so serious, because I had done something, according to them, that was illegal, because I had spoken to a patient, a man that has stage 4 cancer, about God. And they were calling me on the carpet. So after they were done, I looked at them and I said, you know what? I have to be honest with you. If I had a chance to do this all over again, I would do the same thing. And then I said, if you fire me over this, it's okay, because God will give me a better job.
So what'd they respond?
But this is my favorite part. Then the boss said to me after a while looking at me, she said, you know, I would have done the same thing, Sal. And I said, no, you wouldn't have, because we wouldn't be having this meeting.
That's right. So once you're bold, people realize they haven't been bold. And it'll inspire them. See, that lady's not like that. I know her. She's super. You can tell by how she talks. She doesn't talk like me. She talks like a kind human being, like a real Christian. But then that boldness came. I'm not sorry for what I'm doing. You know, it's not illegal to talk to people about Jesus at your work. If someone asks you about it, this is not the Soviet Union.
If somebody asks you, you can tell them. It's not illegal. Don't let them tell you it's illegal. You have to be asked if you're working in your work capacity. But if you're asked, you can tell them.
That's right. Very good. Please, a nice hand clap to my friend. And I'm proud of you on behalf of Jesus. Now, that tank over there full of water should be full of people today. If you've never been baptized, this is not a ceremony. This is an ordinance of the church. This is a spiritual thing. It's not so you can come and your family come to church once and come see you get. It's not for family. It's not we're not joining the Masonic Lodge. It is those that believe and are baptized. I don't know how many people we've baptized. It's got to be close to 1,000, if not over 1,000 already. And we're going to do more today. Because this baptism is a signal that I'm dying with Christ and I'm being raised to life with him. And I'm in this thing. In it to win it. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to let God put an acceleration on me to make up for all the years that were lost. And God will use you in this last hour of time. I'm out of time. I've said enough. I guess I've said enough. I could preach easily till 3 or 4 p.m. And then get on the plane and go start again. Because there's so many scriptures on this. John 4, the harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest are souls being brought to eternal life. No one should ever have to check on. No one's ever had to check on me. Jonathan, we haven't seen you in church in 3 weeks. Are you okay? I'm sad. It's been cloudy out. It affects my mood. When you're busy about the work of the Lord, it's basically its own discipleship. So, when we're launching a discipleship class today, correct? Pastor Dean, stand on the, with your wife, stand on the white line and face the crowd. This is my youth pastor. He was my youth pastor in Bangor, Maine. I've known him a long time. He's a solid, anointed man. And his wife's great. They're going to lead a discipleship class. It starts directly after church. Where? In the back? Same place they do new members. I would love for you to join it. They have food or no food? We have food. Take care of your lunch. As you heard at the beginning of the sermon, I have tons of money. We're happy to get you food. 3 more easy pays and I own this tie outright off QVC. I want to take it a step further. See, most churches, the goal is to get you to come back. We're not looking for an audience. Even when you come here as an audience, I'm preaching. I'm not giving you an address or a speech. I'm putting something from God's word in your guts to go out. That's what was in that lady. That was impartation. She's not like that, but the Holy Spirit's like that. Peter wasn't like that. Peter denied Christ to girls at a campfire. But then when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, different Peter. That's what I'm going to pray for today. And if you've not been baptized, we have clothes for you to wear so you don't have to get, you know, go out. Although it's going to be 71 today, so you'll be fine. But I want you to take a step today that'll change your life. I'm going to pray for everybody. But before I do, let's do 2 very important things. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jonathan, in Texas and Pittsburgh. Jonathan, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. Like your great-grandfather, I've done many bad things. I need to be saved. I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse my sins away. I have trouble sleeping at night, thinking about I need music on, I need TV on, I need something on. I cannot be alone with my thoughts because I have sin. Jesus, you shall call him Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins. And I want to be baptized. I want to tell the devil, me and you are finished. As of today, me and you have no further business. Let me tell you something. When the exact nation that the Bible says in Ezekiel 38 will attack Iran, or will attack Israel, is attacking Israel, and then they're getting ready to slaughter the red heifers at Passover in 10 days to begin the rebuilding of the third temple, I would not roll the dice with my eternity anymore. I would get to this line and make sure. Like now, I'd get baptized. Now it's, no, I don't hope I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. April, what's today? April 14th, 2024, just before Passover. I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I was baptized. And the Bible says anyone that believes and is baptized will be saved. But those that refuse to do it will be damned. And I used to refuse to do it, but now I refuse to refuse to do it. I get saved. And I'm doing it today. If you're here and that's you, and there should be many people, I want to come out of sin. I want to know that I'm right with God. I want you to put your hand up high and wave it at me right now. We're going to pray together in Jesus' name. That hand's a sign to me and a sign to God. I see your hand. I see your hand. Who else? Wave it. Put your hand up. I need to give my life to Jesus. In the back, I see you. Who else? Today's my day to come to Jesus Christ. Everyone that lifted a hand, those of you that are more bold, come first. It'll help those that are a little more shy. Everyone come right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Keep coming. There's room for you. God bless you. God bless you. Who else before we pray? God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. This whole family. That's awesome. Who else before we pray? If the Lord's wrestling with your heart, surrender yourself. I give myself to Christ. I turn my back on sin. I receive what Jesus did for me. God, awesome. 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 Go ahead. Let it rip. She's going to sing it one time through. Make your decision today. Awesome. Before we pray. All right. You come right to the front with your friend. Now, let's pray this together. This is not a recital or like an initiation rite. This is a God. There's a God that hears this prayer. Even while you're praying it, he'll take in all of the wicked, nasty things that were on the inside and pull them right out. And he'll give you, the Bible says, a new heart I give you. It doesn't clean your old one up. It gives you a new heart. Lift both hands to the Lord and say this nice and loud so God can hear you. Heavenly Father, I've come forward today to give you my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me in your blood. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and my Savior. Right now, I receive forgiveness. I receive salvation. I receive a new life in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. I'm going to bless you. I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. The arrows of the wicked, the attacks the enemy used against your life, drugs, depression, tormenting spirits, whatever he used, anger, those attacks cease now. In Jesus' name, I loose a new heart. Not the old you trying to live a new life, the old you dead. A new you comes to life. By the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Receive that now. In Jesus' name. I curse the taste for nicotine, alcohol, fentanyl, heroin, Percocet, ketamine, any other drug. I curse it. I curse the taste for it. You don't want it. You want it like you want anchovy. Don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't like it. In Jesus' name. You'll never go back to jail. You'll never go back to rehab. From today, as you keep your life surrendered to God, everything begins to go up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Your sins are all forgiven. God doesn't remember one thing you did before today. You're not supposed to say this as a pastor. You're supposed to say, find a good church. But I can't say I really would like you to be me to be your pastor. So I'm sorry. I like you. I don't want to turn you loose to some other church. I would like you to be here. Now, you don't have to go to church here, but I would love it if you not only came here, but became a part of what God's doing. We have a mother's group that meets. We have anything, fishing, anything you're interested in. You make friends. You don't just have to leave your friends and be alone and rot. Join a new family. And that's what these people over here are. They're your introduction. We found the nicest people in our whole church to welcome you to the family of God and give you a Bible and some other materials when you're by. What do I do now? How do I handle this? Some important things from me as a gift to you. So they won't take long. And then secondly, we don't always do this, but since we're doing baptism today, if you've never been baptized, do it today and go home soaked to the skin with the knowledge that I'm born again. My old life's dead. I'm very proud of you. Please head that way with our friends here before you go back to your seat. God bless you. So glad. Bless you. Head that way. Give them a great big hand clap. I'll be with you shortly. I'm going to pray for everybody. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, welcome them to the family of God. I'm proud of you. God bless you. Welcome everybody. Watch your step. Love you. You're welcome. You enjoyed today? I'm glad. God bless you. Give the Lord another great hand clap in Texas and Pittsburgh. Come on, give Jesus a big, big hand clap. Take your seats briefly. Now, you saw the zillion things that are going on. It is impossible to put your money into that. The advancement of God's kingdom is his main thing. He said, if you make it your main thing, seek ye first the expansion of God's kingdom and his righteousness in the earth. And when you do, all the other things that people are chasing, trying to get, I'll just add them to you. That is how you tap into the open windows of heaven. And I'm telling you, once you do it, nobody will ever have to take an offering. If a church forgets to take an offering, you'll bring yours anyway. Because you realize it's not to help them. It actually keeps me plugged in to God's source. So your offering envelopes are in your seat. I'm going to give you a second to fill that out. Where's Jessica? Tercios. Send 20,000 from my money to the church today. Okay? That's from my personal money. Because I feel to do it. I feel to turn 20 into 200,000. That's how you do it. Let go, receive. Anna and Elsa had a great revelation. Let it go. You cannot give to our church on Cash App anymore. It's an election year, and Cash App delisted our church out of the blue. They shut our account down. So Cash App, I got a finger I'd like to show you. But I'm on camera and I'm a pastor, so I'll leave you alone. It's my pointer finger that you need to go to heaven. I don't know what you guys were thinking. RevivalToday.com. Click give now. Anytime the devil's tried to shut our money down like that, we've always had the best week financially we've ever had. So I'm actually looking forward to what God's people rally around when you're attacked. If you're in California, come see me tonight. I'll be there at 7 o'clock somehow. We're going to have a great meeting. 7 o'clock Sunday night through Friday night. Sheraton Gateway LAX right by the airport. Thank you for your giving in Texas. Who's in Texas today? Matt Antis, Pastor Matt Antis, go ahead to the front and so people can see you. I'm going to have Brother Matt and the other leaders there pray for those of you that are in Fort Worth after we receive the offering. And I'm going to pray for everybody that wants prayer today. So when we finish, I'm going to pray for everybody. And then that discipleship class, that is 100 times better than being asked to be kept in prayer. Keep me in prayer. I'm going through. Learn the Bible. The Bible's the sword of the Spirit that causes you to prevail. There's no equipment in the Spirit of being kept in prayer. That's just basically, that's nothing. So Pastor Dean, you'll be in good hands. And then I'm going to lay hands on you to be healed and to get the fire to go out this week. And when you're in a situation like my friend was back there, that fire will dominate. Can you say amen? How many of you are glad you came today? Good. I'm glad you came too. It'd be weird me just shouting and jumping around by myself. Praise God. So thankful for you. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, 107 Patton Drive. They're gonna organize all those ministry groups. So if you're a leader, would like to be a leader, be there. And they'll get that all sorted out. I want there to be a clear-cut leader of every group. You don't have to have Bible college. If you're in charge of fishing, you're in charge of fishing. Like actual fishing, not spiritual fishing, not email scams, F-I-S-H-I-N-G. And then what happens is, like we had a hunting group go out and people open up. One guy opened up about his marriage and they talked and the marriage got healed while they hunted. People get enough, see, other churches, they have like the small groups and you get the Bible because there's no Bible on Sunday. But here there's a lot of Bible on Sunday. So that's so people can enjoy each other and have other people to talk to that call on the Lord. You know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with clean hearts. That's an instruction. So you can't call people to leave all their bad friends and then give them no life. There should be a better life, and there is a better life. Welcome to Revival Today, Church. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.